Matthew chapter 7. Now the Lord here is continuing speaking about the wide way, the wide gate, about His warning to beware of false prophets in sheep's clothing. And we pick up here in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, you notice here, he says, not everyone that saith, but he that doeth. The difference in entering into the kingdom of heaven and not entering into the kingdom of heaven has to do with being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But there's a difference between what the naturally religious man hears in God's word and what the believer hears. And so there's a difference between what the naturally religious man does and teaches others to do and what the believer does and teaches others to do. Now in his next few words, the Lord bears that out. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, in the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, these are moral, religious, church-going, professing Christians. They said, Lord, Lord. They're convinced that they've not been hearers only. They're convinced that they've been doers in the name of the Lord. They say to the Lord that they've preached in His name. They say to the Lord that in His name they cast out devils. They say to the Lord that in His name they did many wonderful works. And then after they profess to the Lord what they've done in His name, the Lord says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice here the Lord says, ye that work iniquity. Not ye that have worked iniquity. Ye that right now, in your present testimony to me, are working the very same iniquity you worked and taught others to work. And it's right here in these three words. Have we not? Their testimony never was Christ. And even standing before the Lord, it's not Christ, but we. We. And here's why. The Lord said, I never knew you. They did all in His name. They did everything in His name. But because Christ never knew them, they preached we instead of Christ. They went in His name, went about preaching and doing in His name. But because Christ never sent them, they went of their own might and taught we instead of Christ. When they taught others to be doers and not hearers only, every word and every work was in His name. They used the Bible, the Scriptures, they used His name, they spoke of grace, they spoke of faith, they spoke of salvation by God's Word, they spoke of those things. But they were not preaching Christ. Their entire tenor of their ministry was, have we not? Verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever, and we need to include these words, cometh unto me. That's how Luke records it. Therefore, whosoever cometh unto me heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." I want to talk to you first of all about the will of my Father. The will of my Father. In verse 21, he says, "It's not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I'm not going to have a lot of scriptures, but I do have some I want you to turn to this morning. John chapter 6. "Now the will of the Father is for all His children to come to Christ, to see Christ, and the Father will make them all come to Christ and see Christ and believe Him." Now watch this, John 6, 36. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Look down at verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all that the Father hath given him shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Now, it's possible to hear with the natural ear. Hold your place there in John 6. Let me say this. It's possible to hear with the natural ear. It's possible to make a profession. It's possible to preach and to do and still not be doing the will of the Father. It's impossible, though, to hear and to be taught of the Father and not come to Christ. Without God the Father teaching, no man can. But when God teaches, no man can resist. Now, back there in verse 37. "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now, he's casting out these folks who are he's talking to. But he says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son," but it doesn't stop there. He's talking to some people that he said, "You've seen me." And many had seen him. Many have seen the doctrines. They take delight in the doctrines. Many have seen him in the scriptures and delight in seeing him in the types and shadows and those things, but still don't believe him. Still don't believe him. Listen. "But he that seeth me, seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, back there in Matthew 7, 21. Hold your place in John. We'll come back there. Matthew 7, 21. So, entering into the kingdom of heaven is not saying, "Lord, Lord," but it's doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. They had never come to Christ. They had never seen the Son. And they had never believed on Him. Alright, here's the second thing. Verse 23. At the end, or in the middle of that verse, he says, "I never knew you." When the Father draws you to Christ, when He draws the sinner to Christ, then Christ makes Himself known in that sinner. When He makes Himself known in a sinner, He makes the sinner to know His oneness with Christ. This word "knew" is not knowledge. I never knew you. It's not knowledge. He knew them. He knew they weren't His. He knew their heart. This word means oneness. It's the same oneness that Paul compared to a husband and a wife in Ephesians 5:30. He said, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now just back there to John, and this time go to John 10. Just how one does Christ reveal that you are with Him when He makes Himself known in you? Just how one does He make Himself known? John 10, verse 14. He said, I am the good shepherd and know. There's the word. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep or my own. And am known of mine. So this thing is, just as He knows us, we know Him. This thing is a oneness. How one? How one is the believer with Christ? In what manner are we one? Look at the next verse. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. That's how one. Look down at verse 30. What's He mean by that? I and Father are one. One. Now, Romans 8, the infinite oneness. Get this now. I want you to get this. The infinite oneness, love, and delight that God has with His Son is the infinite oneness, love, and delight that God has with those that He created in His Son before He founded the world. In Romans 8:29, I showed you Thursday night, the Word is speaking of the honor and privilege of Christ the firstborn. He's the only firstborn son. The only one that ever opened the womb. Opened the womb. He did it. He's the firstborn son. And everywhere you find firstborn mentioned, you find inheritance mentioned. And you can look this up on your own, but when the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh when Egypt was in bondage, He said, let Israel, my son, my firstborn, go. And my people, that they may serve me. He's talking about His people. But in Christ, He calls my firstborn. Why? Because they're one in Christ. All the honor and blessing and privileges that go to the firstborn, Christ the firstborn, will go to the sons and daughters of Christ because they're one in Him. They're union with Him. They're partakers of the inheritance with Him. And so Paul says here in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's what happens when He makes this oneness known in a sense. You love Him now. He's always loved those that He put in Christ, but He makes you to see, makes you to love Him. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Called what? Called sons. Sons of God. Watch this. For whom He did foreknow. Whom He did make one before. In this intimate oneness with Himself in His Son. Who He did foreknow. Them He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. His firstborn Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now when God calls a sinner in time, it's not in order to make you a son at that time, but because the Father made you a son before time. one with the Father and His Son when He puts you in Christ. The adoption is to let you in on it. To let you know you've been one with Him since before the world was made. Because ye are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now you're one. Now you've been brought into this union. And when Christ knows you, He makes you to know that from everlasting, you've been one with the Father and the Son. He said, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, that's what you're going to do if He makes Himself known in you. You're going to believe Him. And He says, He that believeth in me dwelleth in me, and I in him. Oneness. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. The world doesn't have oneness with us because the world knew Him not. Didn't have this oneness with Him because He didn't make Himself known in them. So when God teaches you to come to Christ, back in our text now, Matthew 7, when God teaches you, draws you to come to Christ, God the Father, and when Christ makes you to know that your oneness, He abides in you, you in Him, one with God the Father, God the Son, then there's but one thing that shall surely happen. One thing. You will hear Christ and you will do His sayings. That's why He said, I didn't come down to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. When He makes Himself known in you, He's going to make you obey Him. And when He sends you, you're going to teach His sayings and not have we not. You teach Him. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever cometh to me and heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Because the house wasn't dependent on itself to make itself stand. The house was founded upon a rock. Upon a rock. Now, what are these sayings of Christ? They're what He's been teaching us through this whole book. And I made it a point over the last 3 or 4 lessons to go through every one of those points with you each time. And I'm going to do it again. It's not burdensome for me. It's needful for you. Here's the first thing. Plant your entire house on Christ the solid rock. Plant everything on Him. He said in the very beginning, think not that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Christ Himself is the perfection of everything He's taught us in this Sermon on the Mount. He is the righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. He is. That righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees that you've got to have to enter into the kingdom of heaven is not a thing. It's a person. And He's that person. We broke and we continue to break everything that's written here. Everything He's taught us here. But by His death, He paid every sin that we've broken here for His children. He paid every one of them. This is the reason, because we've broken them and we know that He's paid for them. This is why you have, as a believer, don't strive to have them, don't grow to have them, but from the first day He makes you to know Him and you to know He knows you, from that first day, you have the Beatitudes. It makes you to mourn because you've broken these laws. You've broken His word, but He's paid it for you. It makes you to mourn. It makes you to be meek because you know what you are now. You didn't know what you were before. You hadn't heard His word and trembled at His sayings. Now you know. I can't do this. I have to have somebody else do it for me. It makes you hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want to do what's right. But even more than that, you want to know Him that's right, that's righteous. It makes you merciful. You know what you are and you know what everybody else is now. It makes you pure in heart. You want to be honest with folks now. You've got no reason to lie to them anymore. You're not trying to hide anything yourself and make them do something so you can feel good about what they did, what you made them do. Now you can just tell them the truth. It makes you a peacemaker. And this is one of the reasons that the believer is persecuted. But if God's drawn you and you've come to Christ and you've heard Him, then you're going to do and teach others to do everything He's taught you right here. He's taught you not to turn your back on Him and go back to your doing and start trusting in something you've done, but to trust Him alone and to teach others to trust Him alone. That's what doing and teaching others to do. That's what's keeping every one of these commandments, not breaking the least of them, and teaching others to keep them. That's what it is. You trust Him who did them, and you teach others to trust Him. Loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, and being made one with Christ, and trusting Jesus Christ, His Son, that's the same thing. That's the same thing. And if you are, then you're a wise man that's built his house on a rock. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Whatsoever you would that men would do to you, do also to them. This is the end of the law and the prophets. This is love that He gives in the heart. If we love as we would have men to love us, then don't do anything. This is the summation of what the Lord's taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. If you really love men, if you've got the love of God in your heart, here's going to be the proof of that love. You're not going to do anything that even has the appearance of evil that you think might hinder your brethren from seeing Christ and looking to you instead. Nothing. Nothing. Let all men see. Let all men see. Remember He said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works. There's a way that the natural man hears that, and so there's a way he does it and teaches it. But there's a way the believer hears it, and there's a way he does it and teaches it. Here's the light. He talked about being reconciled to him that has ought against you. Let the world know. Let every man know that there's much more peace in being reconciled to Christ, in coming to Him and just saying, oh, I don't want to be at fault. I don't want to be wrong. Are you right? Being reconciled to Christ is much more peace. How do I show them that? Just be reconciled to them that have ought against you. Let all men see that your flesh is crucified with Christ by not being a divider because of the lust of your flesh. That's what he talked about when he talked about looking on a woman and adultery and fornication and separation. That's all the lust. That's the end of the lust of the flesh. It's division. Division. Are you crucified with Christ? Do you live with Him because Christ lives in you? Do you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you? And you've been crucified. This flesh is crucified. Live no longer after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit. Be honest with sinners, plain, straightforward, in the truth of the gospel. Yay, yay, no, no. Yes, that's right. No, that's not it. Be truthful. Let all men see that you trust God and that He saved you not by the strength of hand, but by His Spirit. How am I going to do that? When men want to smite you? When men want to take you to the law? When men want to compel you? Don't resist them. I don't have any weapons to fight you with. All I got is this word of grace to tell you. Let all men see in your dealings with men that the grace of God that was given to you had no respect whatsoever of your person. How'd I do that? Treat your believer and your unbeliever the same way. Treat the male and female the same way. The rich and the poor the same way. Those that despise you and hate you and those that love you, treat them the same way. Don't have respect and to one over the other. Do none of your devotions to God and to your brethren to attract sinners to you. Pray for them. Provide for them. Make intercession for them. Separate yourself from sin, but don't do any of it to try to compel them or attract them or make them go. Last time I said this, I said two things would happen. I don't think I gave you but one of them. One is they'll follow you and not Christ. But the second one is this. You'll start following you and not Christ. Because you'll like it. You'll like it, what you've got them to do. In everything, seek preeminently the kingdom of God and His righteousness and trust God to provide. We covetous, don't. Nothing is more unbecoming to a believer than to be hoarding up treasures on earth and saving things for a rainy day as if you don't trust the God who controls the rainy day. Turn not back to that critical, self-righteous flesh, but ask God to keep you from self-righteousness. Do you know yourself? We were talking about this in the back a little while ago. Do you know yourself? You know how just quick you become critical and how quick you begin to say in your mind that person ought not or they ought not do this or do that or whatever. That's what we got to be safe from. Now that person may be doing something awful and terrible, but you got to be safe from being that critical judge of. You got one lawgiver, that's God. He's able to make him stand. Ask him to help you stand, to save you out of that, and lift up your brother. That's what God teaches us. If we trust him, let's trust him. And then here's the third thing. The first thing is trust God. Love God. Trust his son. Believe his son. Here's the second thing. Love your brethren as yourselves. Do unto them as you'd have them do unto you. Here's the third thing. Enter into Christ the straight gate and continue in Him with others who call on the Lord out of a pure heart and purge yourself from false prophets, from the broad way, from everybody that's promoting, have we not? Paul quotes our Lord here as he writes to Timothy. And Paul's writing in 2 Timothy 2. And he's writing concerning Hymenaeus and some of those fellows who were turned against him. And Timothy's young. And when you're young and strong, sometimes you have to battle more with that lust of the flesh that knows, I could fix him. I could fix him. Paul says two things to him. He says this. He's quoting the Lord. The Lord taught Paul. Listen to this. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The rock solid. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And when He makes Himself known, they know Him. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. What is it? In a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these sorts of men. The Lord's saying, beware of false prophets. Purge yourself from them. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisee. Beware. A little leaven will have you being critical. It'll have you doing all the things the Lord here said not to do. Just a little leaven. Just a little promoting of your flesh. And he said, and the man that does that will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And he says also something else. You know that lust you have to divide and conquer? That lust you have to take matters into your own hands? That lust you have to turn and rend a man that acts like that? He says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace. And he says, and do it with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's where the Lord's your strength, and he's going to strengthen you through your brethren. That's what he's going to do. So back there in our text, he says, therefore, verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. In a minute, Eric's going to come, and Brother Hammy's going to sing. I'm going to put him on the spot. And we'll sing, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All right.